We'll give just a few minutes for people to sign on. We want everyone to be able to join us on this Easter Sunday morning. So blessed by this. You know what we should do? We should sing "There is Power in the Name of Jesus," since some of us just got power back midnight last night. Did you get power back? You. Do you have power back? If not, I guess you're not watching this, right? But, so, do we... I don't have my phone. Does it look like anyone signed on yet? That anyone's ready to go? We'll give it another 30 seconds or so. So I don't have my phone. Those of you that like to call or text during a sermon to mess with me, it will be a fruitless effort this morning. But if you're ready, I'm ready. So let's go. Good morning, church. He has risen. He has risen indeed. And that is why we gather on this day, Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, our meeting on every Sunday is, in a sense, a recognition and celebration of the resurrection. A portion of the scripture that we're going to be in this morning is in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. If you want to turn there, we'll be coming back to that later. But that passage begins, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." They found the stone rolled away, and as we'll read in a few moments, they found the tomb empty because Jesus had risen from the dead. And in recognition of that, they began to worship on the first day of the week, Sunday, rather than the traditional Sabbath day. And we carry on that tradition so that each week when we gather, it's because he defeated death and rose from the grave on that first day of the week. We gather each week for the purpose of worship, praise, but also fellowship and encouragement. And while we remain under this temporary lockdown order that we're following, not because we're weak or unwilling to defend our rights, but because of the weak, out of love and concern for those in our community and in our families that may be more vulnerable than us. In the New Living Translation, Romans 15:1 reads like this. It says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves." And I know that's a little bit out of context of what that chapter is talking about, but I think it very much applies to our situation today. In fact, I think it applies very much to the Christian life. We do have rights and we do have liberties, but oftentimes we're called to lay that down, lay our freedoms down for the sake of others, and that's what we're doing now. So thank you for your patience and your understanding and willingness to put others before yourselves. With that, I know that we're all longing for some good fellowship, and we're going to try to share some greetings from some of the leadership here at OTCF with you now. So watch this with me. Nope. Work. All right. Hopefully that worked. Hopefully you guys were blessed by that. It was difficult, different volume levels and videos and all that, but you guys get the gist of it, and I pray that was a blessing to you and a glimpse of what it will be like when we get to join together again. And speaking of glimpses, maybe you saw my lounge pants at the end of that. We are offering a blooper reel for a generous donation to the church. No, just kidding. But we do have some bloopers that I hope you will never, ever see. But we enjoyed doing that. And anyways, I wanted to share, as we begin, Old Testament prophecy out of the book of Isaiah that speaks of a suffering Savior long before Jesus walked the earth. So this is from Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to actually read it out of the New Living Translation. If you want to turn to that in whatever translation you have, you can follow along, but kind of set our hearts as we reflect on what Jesus did and the price that was paid for us, and then we're going to worship together. So Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 3, says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and he had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels." So as we reflect on that price that he paid, the cost of our salvation, would you join me in singing some songs of worship, reflection, and praise?
The cross that you have carried. Thank you for your blood that was shed. You took the weight of sin upon your shoulders and sacrificed your life so I could live. Now kindness of your love, the kindness and the greatness of your love. Now nothing is holding me back from you, Redeemer of my soul. Now nothing can hold me back from you. Your love will never let me go. In your name, in your name, oh. plans for me are good. I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You hid in glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name. Jesus Christ. powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Okay, we're going to pick up. Are we all set back there? We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 24 this morning. Thank you, Susan. That was awesome. And what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Before we turn to Luke 24, can I share a quote with you from Jesus? This is one of my favorite quotes in the scriptures, favorite couple of verses. But let me share this with you. It's out of Revelation chapter 1. It says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." I love that quote. Don't be afraid. I am, he says. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. I have the keys of Hades and death. Don't be afraid, because he is Jesus and he lives. So back in Luke chapter 24, the first couple of verses we have done already, but it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Verse 3, "When they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this." Why were they perplexed? Because he wasn't there. The tomb was empty. He had risen. "They behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid," why were they afraid? Because there was two guys there and they were shining, it says. "They bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord that is the response, and that's why we celebrate today. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Verse 6 says, "He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And then they remembered his words. "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And some people question, why would Jesus have had the women come and testify? And I'll say, you know what? Because they came. They were there. They continued to serve our Savior. And that's a lesson to us men. Oftentimes our churches are filled with women that are serving as men are gone, as men sit in the chairs. But these women were an example and they served, and Jesus accepts all who come. So they came and they were then put to work and asked to be the messengers. Verse 10 says that it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. And some say that this was because they were women, and the testimony of women was not accepted. But as we'll see later in our chapter, they didn't even believe Jesus when he appeared. Verse 12 says, "But Peter rose, and he ran down to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they walked together, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." Verse 15, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?'" Is it perfect? Of all days. Can you give me verse 18, Jim? "Have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" How could you not know what's happened? "Are you the only stranger? Have you not heard the news?" Verse 19. "And they said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.'" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him." I got nothing here, Jim. So what verse are we on? Thanks. The risk that I repeat something. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel indeed. "Besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them," he responds to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So, beginning at Moses, beginning at the law, he went through the entirety of the book. He went through the entirety of the prophets and pointed out how all of this pointed to him, pointed to Jesus as the Messiah. Verse 28, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they arose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See, it wasn't just the ladies that they didn't believe. Jesus is in their very presence, and he says, be at peace, peace to you. But they are terrified. They're frightened. And I think it's timely for where we are as a nation. Some of you are in that spot. And the Lord tells us, and I know many of you have heard and meditated on this scripture throughout this past month, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But I want you to see Jesus' response to these guys, because I think it'd be very similar to us today. He asks two questions. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? So he wants to know, why are you troubled? He cares about the circumstance. He wants to know what you're going through. He wants to know the things that are freaking you out, that are causing you to be terrified, that are making you frightened. What are they? Why are you troubled? And then, even though those things are happening, even though these circumstances may be out of your control, why do doubts arise in your hearts? The response, verse 39, is behold. Pay attention. Hear this. My hands, my feet. It's very similar to that quote of Jesus that I gave. It. I am. Don't fear, because I am. And here he's saying, why do you doubt? Why do you fear? Check it out. My hands, my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Don't fear because of me, he's saying. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Also relevant for today, probably. Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He gave them understanding that they would know what this book says and means. Verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. A witness, gang, is one who has personal or direct knowledge, understanding, an experience about a subject. When these witnesses came to understand that Jesus rose from the dead, that they had personal knowledge and understanding of what that meant, they understood that the wages or the cost of sin was death. That sin must be punished, and when it comes to sin, there is no plea bargain, no room to negotiate. The price required is death. But they also knew that when Jesus rose from the dead, that the price had been paid in full. That the payment that Jesus Christ offered on the cross was not just accepted, it was perfect and complete. There's a prophetic verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. We find it in Daniel chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Daniel chapter 12, as you turn, I will sip. And it's the second verse. Daniel 12:2. It says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." See, this is something that we all have to understand. Christian, you need to get this, to understand the importance of you being a witness and telling others of their need to be forgiven of their sins. Testify to them your story, then take them to the map and give them directions on how to do so. To the one who's not yet a Christian, you need to understand this verse as well. And see that the word everlasting, read that as eternal or forever, applies to both life and death. We get it. I think most of us understand that heaven is eternal. Confess our sins to God by admitting that we're a sinner. Ask Him to forgive us, to accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross in our place rather than make us receive the punishment that we deserve. Put that punishment on the cross. We can be forgiven, saved from everlasting torment and separation from God through what Jesus did, making Him our Savior and Lord, or boss of our life. But there are far too many that don't understand that if you don't do this, you don't just serve a sentence or suffer for a season, pay some dues, and then get off the hook. There is no second chance after Jesus comes back. Or if you die before He does, hell also is everlasting. Hear that as eternal or forever. It's not for a little while and then you go into some type of oblivion or rest. You who figure you'll just roll the dice or have God judge you on the good and the bad need to understand, must understand, that true justice requires that there be only one acceptable payment for your sin, and that's death. That can be served by you in shame, torment, and everlasting punishment, or you can ask God to accept the payment that Jesus made on the cross instead, and then follow Him because He rose from the dead. You can have everlasting life. So I want to encourage you to do just that. Join us in the celebration that Jesus rose from the dead. And by doing so, showed that His sacrifice was accepted, perfect and complete. Nothing we could ever do will be good enough. So we celebrate what Jesus did and that He offers this gift to us. If you haven't yet done so, please ask God to forgive you. Listen to the words of this closing song, and after, in your own words, right where you are, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and then follow Him with your life. In order to do that, you'll have to learn about Him. And the best way to do that is to read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, join us here when we meet again in person. We give them away every week. And finally, tell someone so that they can pray for you and walk alongside you. And church, I'll close with this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
You all.